Friday, as I was working on my sermon, I was walking down the hall and Kevin said, "How's it going?" or something along those lines. And I said, "You know, it's really hard to pull something new and different out of a story that we're so familiar with. One that we've preached before and we've taught." I actually contemplated changing directions and preaching the gospel at the last minute, but I was wanting to work on the Old Testament, and we'd planned the whole service around this scripture, so I kept it. And I'll be honest, I've read this passage over and over through the years. I've taught it more times than I can count, taught it in Sunday school and Bible school, and surprise, a few new things jumped out at me. I guess even an Eli can learn new things. The first thing that I realized is that Eli and Samuel were really very much alike. I hadn't really thought about that before. You may remember that Eli went through some hard times. He wasn't very good at disciplining his sons, and they disgraced the priestly line. That's why Samuel was needed, to become the kingmaker for God. But Samuel's own sons had their problems, and people questioned Samuel's abilities also, just like they had Eli's. It's interesting that these two people that God needed to further the kingdom didn't live a perfect life. Sound familiar? Interesting, isn't it? If we think about it, how often do we hear the stories of God working through those who haven't lived a perfect life? Well, if you think about it, the only one that comes to mind is Jesus, the living, breathing Son of God. The rest of the stories all use people who were not perfect. I can't help but think about Moses. "God, don't you want my brother Aaron? He's better than me. He can sing like an angel, talk like a preacher, but me, I'm not good at that thing." God even used Eli, who, despite what was happening in his life, helped Samuel to know God. That's rather amazing. Samuel has to give Eli some very hard news. He has to tell Eli that his problems can't be atoned through sacrifice or offering. And Eli still helps Samuel. God uses those who are willing to say, "Here I am, Lord." Another thing that jumped out to me is Samuel going to Eli three times before Eli is clear about what's happening. I know I've read that over and over, and I think I've always wrote it off as Eli being asleep and old, and it took him a while to wake up and to realize what was going on. Then I reread that first verse. "The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread." Is it possible that Eli had lost even the thought that God might still speak? Had it been so long for Eli that he was not only physically blind, but maybe he was also spiritually blind? Maybe he couldn't see what God was capable of doing. As God was calling Samuel, was God also calling Eli in a way? Bringing back some of what Eli had known a long time ago, but had maybe slipped away. The very presence of God in a personal way, guiding his children. And Samuel was exactly that, a child, a child who had not been introduced to God. But God became real that day to Samuel and perhaps renewed faith in Eli also. Both Eli and Samuel had their own kind of blindness that had nothing to do with eyesight. It had to do with their heart and how open they were to hearing God. It strangely took Eli, whose heart was perhaps a little harder, it took him longer to introduce Samuel to God. How often do we allow the things of this world to harden our hearts? I was reading a bit this week about all that was going on in our world, in particular with regards to immigration. And I found myself angry, I found myself saddened, I found myself confused, I found myself reading comments and getting more and more upset. And Roy and I were talking about it, and Roy said, "What do we do about it? What should we do?" And I didn't have an answer for him at that time. And I felt rather frozen and in a way maybe blind. My heart was hardened a bit by the things going on in our world. Had I let the world harden me? Was I a bit like Eli, blind to what God can do in and through me? Does it take a child listening to God to open my heart, to show me that hope comes through living a living, breathing relationship with God? Is there a way that God can use me in this world to end racism, to tear down walls, to erase borders, to share the news that God created this earth for everyone and created everyone in His image? That God didn't place lines in the sand and say, "Everything over here is yours, and everything over here is yours." We're all one in God's eyes. Can God use me in this day and time? And do we really believe that we are usable? I think that might be a hard question to ask ourselves. Because if the answer is yes, then we need to be like Samuel and we need to speak, "God, I'm listening." But then we have to do the thing that God is asking us to do. And let me tell you, that might not be the easy thing to do. It's not easy for me to stand here and say some of the things that God lays on my heart, but to tell you the truth, it's harder to not say them. It's not easy to do some of the things that we're called to do in this world. The world might not agree with us, but we're not promised an easy road. I know I say this a lot, but taking up our cross and following Christ isn't a promise for an easy road, is it? We've got to believe that God still speaks to us, and we've got to listen. Which, to be honest, led me to the last new thing I picked up. Verse number 11 says, "I'm about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of everyone who hears it tingle." When was the last time you heard something that made you tingle? There have been a very few times in my life that I can actually say I've tingled over something I've heard or seen. You know what I mean when I say tingle? You know, when you hear a story or a comment that makes you have those goosebumps all over, I always call them with the kids God bumps. Because it usually happens when something really out of left field happens, and I just get that feeling. The hairs on your arms stand up, and you get cool and flushed feeling at the same time. I'm guessing Eli may have had God bumps when he realized that it was God calling Samuel. I'm guessing Samuel might have had some of those bumps when he responded to God's calling and his life was forever changed. I had that feeling a little when I read this passage again last night, and that phrase jumped out at me. I'm going to do something that will make everyone who hears it tingle. Do we believe that God can or does say things to us that can make us tingle? Or do we feel like the word of the Lord is rare in these days? Have we been blind or hardened so that we don't take the time to listen? Do we pretend to listen, but then not follow through with what we're called to do? I'm here to say that I believe God is alive and well, and I believe that God is speaking to us today if we take the time to listen. There is hope in this world if we're willing to say to God, "Here I am, Lord." The anthem that the choir sang based on this passage says it beautifully, and it's found in our hymnal if you ever want to read the words. But the words are, "Here I am, Lord. It is I, Lord. I've heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart." Isn't that a beautiful picture? God holds me. May I be willing to go where God leads me and hold God's people in my heart. May that be our mission. Amen.